Good morning. I am so glad all of you have chosen to come this morning. Whether you are joining us online or you sitting here masked up in person today, welcome. We are glad that you are here. For those online, you may want to spend some time gathering your communion supplies. You can get some juice and some sort of crackers, bread to consume when we all do communion together. In this room, or if you are sitting at home, we would like for you to participate in that with us. Again, welcome. We are so grateful that you are here with us this morning. Cora is going to come up and light our candle.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 133. I want to invite you who are here with me to stand, please, as I read this text. And then let's remain standing for the songs that follow that Andrea will lead us in. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured down on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Let's sing together.
Good morning, everyone. It is so nice to be doing this with people here. It's wonderful. Okay. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin. And now, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. Thank you, Beethoven.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away.
Okay, our young friends know what time it is. It is time to grab your leaves bulletin. We have one here plus a cardboard cutout of another young friend in our auditorium today. On this leaves bulletin, you saw the psalm that I read earlier, and on the back there is a place where you can color and draw the word hallelujah. In some Christian traditions, people refrain from saying hallelujah throughout Lent. They hold it from the beginning of Lent until Easter morning, and Easter morning is the time they start saying it again, praise the Lord. So that's why Alleluia is on the leaves bulletin today. This is yours to color and decorate. Well, let's pray together, and then Glenn's going to come and read our text for the morning, and then I will get back up here. Alleluia indeed, O God. Thank you for the Christ who lived among us and lives among us still. Thank you for your grace, the way that you redeem us, the way that you continue to redeem the world. Pour through me today the gift of preaching. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. It's because of Christ we pray. Amen.
Morning all. Our morning scripture is from 1 John 1, verses 1 through 4. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We have seen him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who as life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share in our joy.
Thank you, Glenn. And good morning, friends. Good to be with you today. My name is Steve Sargent. I am the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ. If you are watching online, we are so glad that you are here with us today. We want to extend a special welcome to those of you doing so today. Since I am no longer preaching right in front of my cell phone, I cannot see in real time who's watching on Facebook Live. So after services, I go back on and just check and see who checked in, what kind of comments were made, what news is posted, and in doing so, I give thanks to God for all of you seeing your names there. That's a great joy for me. I miss you all, and I continue to pray for the day when we will be fully drawn back together. I do hope you can see and hear okay online. Several of you have told me that you can, and we'll keep making adjustments as needed as we go along. Thanks also to those of you who are with me here in person. Thanks for coming. As much as I enjoy hearing Andrea or Caleb sing by themselves, hearing a group of human voices in harmony is a beautiful thing. When it was just me as the only male, I tried to do my best to sing both tenor and bass, but it really didn't work too well, so I'm really glad that you're here to help me. I'm grateful to sing with you, to worship with you, and even more so to break bread with you, to pass the cup with you. Thanks for being here. I didn't mention this last Sunday, but you've obviously noticed we've moved our arrangement around here in the auditorium. The wind has shifted, and we are no longer facing east, but now south this way toward the Bell's house, just a few streets behind us, back toward where Bernadine and Josephine live, a few doors down from them. So that's why we've changed today, back up front. Well, here we are, a week after Easter. Easter season lasts, if you did not know, a month and a half, rather than just a single Sunday morning. 6 weeks to rejoice, to rest, to remember that the Christ is still risen. The tomb is still empty, and God's Spirit is still breathing life as God sees fit over the face of the earth. Thanks be to God for that. I would like to share with you our plan for these 6 weeks, and then the plan for the rest of the year. What sort of things will move us forward together in discipleship? Today and the next two Sundays, we'll spend time in 1 John. Glenn Harper just read that text for us today. I'll talk more about it in a few moments. For the following 3 weeks of the Easter season, we'll talk about solitude and community and ministry, the words we find on our banners here in the auditorium. We'll talk about how God uses those three disciplines in concert with each other for our spiritual formation. May 23rd is Pentecost Sunday, and Dee Pipes has been biding her time to preach that one. I believe it was January of 2020 when she told me that she was going to preach Pentecost 2020, but because of the pandemic, that did not happen, so she is rearing to go this time around. That will be May 23rd. And on May 30th, we're going to start a 6-month stint in the Gospel of Mark. We spent a little bit in Mark so far this year, including Easter, but we'll sit with it for an extended amount of time in about a month and a half. I'm really looking forward to listening to those texts with you and preaching those texts and topics with you, praying along the way that God would continue to shape and form us as God sees fit. We begin, though, in 1 John. There we go. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to get them and turn to 1 John. It's just a few pages tucked in the back of your New Testament. It's a little bit tricky to find, so if you need to turn to the table of contents to find the page number, that's okay too. Or if some of you have already done, just open your phone app and find it there. While you were trying to locate it, I have mentioned to you before that the Sunday after Easter is traditionally known as Low Sunday. It's called that mostly for the benefit of professional ministers, I assume, because the attendance at church drops off significantly from Easter to today. With so much emphasis on Easter morning, and rightly so, the week after it can feel like a letdown of sorts, a low Sunday, especially if the number of people sitting in your pews is the determining factor of whether or not your church is successful. I recently learned that the Sunday after Easter is also called Holy Humor Sunday, as a way to celebrate that Christ in resurrection has turned everything upside down, and to be exceedingly glad that death and evil, while still packing a heavy punch, cannot in the end win. Apparently, Holy Humor Sundays have been around for quite some time. Worship services are filled with joy-filled songs and inspiring scripture readings that celebrate Jesus' resurrection. At picnics, people are encouraged to tell their favorite funny stories. Practical jokes are played on the pastor. I am not a huge fan of that one, but if you want to do that, go for it. I'll be fine with that today. In some churches, churchgoers apparently drench each other with water, like they toss water balloons at each other, which sounds a little risky to me, right? Other congregations have a dance, which is definitely a risk. At least it is for me. Early church leaders had a name for this day too. They called it the Easter laugh. The laugh is not a mocking laugh. It isn't jeering or sarcastic. The Easter laugh, rather, is that true joy that wells up from within, that comes out as an audible hope. The Easter laugh revels in the truth that God has got this. God has got this. I like that. I think my dad would like that too. He is a professional auctioneer as well as an elder at his congregation. And no matter when he gets up to speak before his antique radio buddies or in front of his church, he will tell a joke to put everybody at ease, he says. He one time told a joke at an antique radio convention about a young monk who entered a monastery. In doing so, the man took a vow of silence that only allowed him 2 words per year. At the end of the first year, he said, "Bed hard." At the end of the second year, he said, "Food cold." At the end of the third year, he said, "Room dark." After the third year, the head monk went to the young man and was concerned about his sincerity about being a monk. "You," he said, "have been here for 3 years, and all I have heard you do is complain." Such are the jokes that my dad likes to tell. Even though I am a minister and certainly not a stand-up comedian, that does not mean that the Easter laugh cannot find a place within me or for you. It does, I think, have a delightful place in 1 John. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy, verse 4 says. The author of this little letter is likely the same person who wrote the Gospel of John, given all the similarities in writing style, but we don't know this for sure, of course. But if you place the two side by side and you see all the resemblances that are there, at the minimum, they probably come from the same circle. When I was in college, my Greek professors liked to begin with passages from John the Gospel and 1 John because they were the easiest to translate from Greek into English. The Greek grammar in them is more akin to something like third grade reading level and writing level than the 12th grade level, if that makes sense. Plus, there's a repetition to John's and 1 John's approach, repeating the same words and the same thing, the same themes. Those made it a perfect starter text. As easy as it was for some people, not me necessarily, to translate 1 John, the content of it is a bit trickier. Not all the things he writes about in the letter fit neatly into the joy category. Read through the whole letter and you'll see that John's church is not all that rosy. Several members of the church apparently like to lie about their sins, which makes for some really enjoyable elders' meetings, I'm sure. Get to the section where John warns his audience about folks who used to be a part of the church that were anti-Christ. And you will question if wanting to model modern-day churches after first-century churches is ever the wisest move. When John says, "We are writing these things so that you may share in our joy," what kind of joy is he inviting us to partake in? Let's read it again. This is from the Message. From the very first day, we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before us. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most somber praise that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God took shape before us. We saw it and we heard it. And now we're telling you so that you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. John's testimony is grounded in the fleshly reality of the God who has drawn near, and three of the five senses are highlighted: hearing, touching, seeing, not taste and smell, but you can bet that John could recall the aroma and the flavor of the fresh bread that Jesus once broke, blessed, and handed to him. None of John's declaration comes from some airy or ghostly mind trick. Jesus' life was not imagined. His physical death was not a disguise. His resurrection was not a ruse. According to John, the word become flesh was hearable and visual and tangible. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We've heard him. We've seen him. We've touched his hands. Since John is no hoarder of good news, he invites others, come. Have fellowship with us, share in this great joy, because our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. John's joy in the writing, it comes in the partaking and the reminding of the church that the word of life is here. The word of life is here. And we all get to be a part of it. Even with whatever junk is going on in John's church, you can almost envision him writing with a smile and an Easter laugh as he writes about this divine rhythm between God, Son, and Spirit that keeps on bringing to life dead things. Fields of decaying bones piecing back together, the once blind able to see, the religious right and the sinner's wrong being born again, cleansed and freed, a man stepping out of a cemetery plot because God breathed. Same for a church. Joy because of God. The joy of Easter resurrection, though, we confess, is not easy to maintain, not even for 1 week, especially with all the noisy, spiritless, gossipy chit-chat that sucks life out of us. Joy is all too often flatlined by news cycles that make us cynical. Joy is numbed by the extracurriculars in our lives that do not matter. Joy is misplaced when we think that the purpose of the church is to match our preferences or to make us happy. Joy is a slippery discipline. It's also a rumbling one. It's also a rumbling one, one that can grow inside without our permission. The new life of Easter blooms within us like a Texas bluebonnet in springtime, and the blooming flowers into a belly laugh or a soft prayer of thanksgiving. Or dancing in praise to God in your living room while the rest of your family is at the grocery store. Where did that come from? Joy, the Easter laugh, is always available. It's always here in abundance. No one can take that away from you. No one can take it away from you. You can always return to it. You do not have to manufacture your own joy. It is given to you. In fact, it's been given to you since the beginning, John says. And he, like many of you, have heard it, have seen it, have touched it with your own two hands. You and he know that God's joy is at its richest when it's collective. We are writing these things so that you all may share in this joy. There is joy in participating in this Christ among us life together, this scary and scenic truth that we need each other. There is joy in witnessing someone else's baptism. There is joy at a full pandemic-free table with enough room for everyone who would join the feast of God, joy in divvying up the bread and the wine. There is joy in God's resurrection because we don't have to be afraid anymore. I'll close with this. Meister Eckhart, a monk who lived about 700 years ago, once wrote in a sermon that God laughs and plays. God laughs and plays. With all the other stuff God is supposed to be doing, stopping wars and curing cancer and feeding children, you wouldn't think God would have time to laugh, much less play. And I'll be honest with you. Those are not attributes of God I think about often enough. So let's think about those things over the next few weeks, this Easter laugh. how God's joy breeds within us a love for each other and a reliance on God. And let us find joy in the hope that we are invited into full fellowship with God the Parent and Jesus the Son, both now and forevermore. And together, my friends, we say or type, Amen. Let's stand together in joyful worship.
I just wanted to say a little note on joy from the words of the Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. That second verse when it's talking about the stars and when you see the field and the forest and the vale and the mountain and the fountain and the birds and the everything. Like, that's where I feel joy when I go out and I see God's creation and how beautiful it is. And if you've never listened to the entire symphony of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, where you hear his full creation with the whole orchestra and choir and everything, that is a really beautiful way to feel the joy of his composition. So, just wanted to state that. Okay, we praise thee, O God.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of the
There is joy coming to the table, the bread and the cup right here. It's given to you. We get to share that with each other. Christ says, this is my body broken for you. Christ says, this is my blood, which is poured out for you on behalf of many people. So let us eat and drink, no matter if we're in here together or online watching this right now. Let's eat and drink together in joy. In a moment, I'm going to pray, and then Chelsea and I will take the bread and the cup, and we'll come to each of you, speak a word to you. You can take the bread and the cup both at that same time from us, and then eat and drink as we go on to the next person. Does that make sense? Let's do that. Let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for the bread, which shows us Jesus, who he is and what he's about, and also the cup, which shows us Jesus too, and why he came. And what he's up to today. We get to share this together. Enjoy today. Thank you for the Christ who lives and breathes among us. It's through him we pray. Amen. We enjoy have been given the body and the blood, and so we also enjoy give. We give because we've been given. So Glenn, in just a moment, is going to come and have pass around the offering plate. You can drop your contribution, your tithes inside. If you choose just to bring it to the office or give online, that's great too. We will take care of it no matter which way you give it. Let me give thanks for this, and I'll share some family matters with you. We do give in joy because you have given in joy, and so we give you thanks for this opportunity to give. May our hearts give in gladness, and may the funds that have been given bless others richly. It's through Christ we pray. Amen. A couple of family matters I want to share with you. You may have seen on Facebook, I shared that our friend Jackie Graham had her baby couple days ago. Joseph is his name, and he's got a head full of hair, and he is beautiful. Jackie's doing great. Edwin is doing just fine. Christian and Nico are holding Joseph so well. They got to meet him for the first time a couple days after she got home from the hospital. Jackie posted a couple of great pictures of them doing so. So we celebrate with Jackie and her family today. I want to let you know, especially those of you who are watching online, or if you have, those of you who are here, have friends, down at Willow Meadows today from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., there are medical professionals vaccinating walk-up people with the Johnson & Johnson dose. So this is just a one-time single dose for the vaccine. If you are watching online and would like to go be a part of that, 1 o'clock is the time that the doors open. If you have neighbors or friends that you think, they can go right at this moment, then please point them that direction. That's at Willow Meadows Baptist, our friends just down the street. A last thing. Speaking of vaccines, we hope to open our doors to more people soon as more and more of us get vaccinated, which is a great thing. I want you to let you know that the shepherds are discussing these things about how to do that and when to do that. So thanks always for your continued patience in that regard. Okay, I want to invite you to stand, please, as I read our benediction for today. And then we'll be sent out in joy. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for watching online. We have seen it and we have heard it. And we're now telling you so that you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus the Christ. Our motive for writing and meeting is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. May God's peace and purpose and great joy be with you as we leave this place. Thank you.